T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The folks in law enforcement that share the goals of reimagining policing.
Reimagining policing in the 21st century.
Rethinking and reimagining policing.
Community efforts to reimagine policing.
To reimagine policing.
We have to reimagine what policing looks like.
Reimagining policing, reimagining our public safety.
Reimagine a citizen-led approach.
You can begin to reimagine law enforcement.
Reimagine public safety in this country.
What can we do to reimagine public safety?
Reimagining public safety.
To reimagine public safety.
We must reimagine what public safety looks like.
Well, welcome to the Annie Fry Show. And that montage was put together by Tucker Carlson last night. I know when we started talking about the McCloskeys, the gun confiscation with the attorney general from Missouri last night, Eric Schmidt was on the show, and if you missed that, you can go to the Annie Fry Show podcast and listen to that. Also, 971talk.com/Annie. And, you know, I'm asking myself, do Missourians have confidence that their Second Amendment rights are safe in St. Louis? Real question here, folks. And we're going to ask Mark Cox about that at 126. He's fresh off of a mountain Montana vacation. And I have to say, when you go on vacation, you come back and you're like, well, this is why we can't have nice things. What have you guys been doing? I remember when I went on a summer vacation 2 years ago, I turned on the television in my hotel for, it was legitimately 2 minutes. And it was when Trump was like, Putin's my best friend or whatever it was at Helsinki. And I was like, nope, turning it off. Can't do anything about it. Not my problem to solve. I'm going to go ride a roller coaster. So we're going to ask Mark about the Second Amendment concerns that he has. It's Tuesday and he does 2A Tuesdays on his show on the Mark Cox Morning Show every day. So I'm going to ask him about that part later at 1:25. But I want to ask you right now, and if you're watching us on our Facebook Live at facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, or if you're one of the 1,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel, very, very grateful for each and every one of you who have gone there. Thank you so much. Who might be watching on your smart TV through YouTube on the Annie Fry YouTube page. I want you to answer this question for me if you can comment along. What does it mean to reimagine policing or reimagine public safety? Because I've been thinking about this. When you listen to that slew of leftists, started with Barack Obama, ended with potentially the next vice president of the United States, Kamala Harris, who, you know, listen, I know I got some people in this audience who are hard lefties who love Kamala Harris. I don't have it. I don't have the patience to listen to Kamala Harris. And the only thing that I can think of worse than listening to Kamala Harris over and over and over again is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris at the same time.
Yikes.
So the question is, what does it mean to reimagine policing? What does it mean to reimagine public safety? I'm going to ask Jack Posobiec this at 12:26. And if you remember Jack, who is a host with OANN, One American News Network, which Donald Trump seems to be a big fan of these days, he was the one who went to the, was it the Lincoln statue? The Emancipation Statue. Mm-hmm. He went there with one of the leaders of the Black Tours of Washington, D.C. to be like, folks, this was paid for by freed slaves. This was paid for by the family members of freed slaves. Like, you do not know what you were doing here. Let me talk to you about this. And he went to document it. So, and then he got accosted by Antifa. And it took, he got helped by private security from Kevin Cork, who is a Fox News reporter, very good reporter. Kevin Cork handed his security off to Jack Posobiec and guided him out of this park before he got, I don't know, killed? Who knows what would have happened if he would have been left to fend for himself? What's it look like to community to reimagine policing? What does it look like to reimagine public safety? Because I have much like a lot of what we see from the uber far progressive left. And I'm not talking about your Thanksgiving dinner table Democrats, your uncle who's been a union Democrat voting supporter for his entire lifetime, who may now be voting for Trump, but he might not admit it. Maybe he will. I'm not talking about the people in your life that are common sense Democrats. I'm talking about the people who are talking about the people who have influence and power, who are out there on cable news talking about reimagining policing. Because the policing that we have right now is so terrible, if you ask them. Well, they're talking about community policing. So I have to ask myself, what is community policing compared to what we have right now? Right now, we have police officers. We have individuals who have decided to make policing, being a law enforcement officer, their career. They have given of themselves for a non-lucrative career. Like, in many cases, they make what teachers make. Teachers. I'm married to one, so before you get on me for hating on teachers, the man I love the most in this world is a teacher. So when you look at what you make, what you get out of being a police officer, compare it to what you make out of being a career politician. Look at the career politicians who have made millions of dollars spending decades in Washington, D.C. You don't get rich being a police officer. You don't get to have, you know, three Bernie Sanders homes and what was his Vermont cabin or whatever it was. He's like, oh, everybody has one of those. No, Bernie. No. Police officers don't have it because they cannot afford that. And in the meantime, police officers are putting themselves in the line of fire. New York City right now just defunded the NYPD to the tune of $1 billion. And to this point, last year, shooting up 200%. That's insane. And you still have law enforcement putting on their badge in the morning or at night and going to work. So what does it mean to community police? You'll hear people suggest that we need to have the policing, the monitoring of these communities come from within. Well, the truth is that the people who are in that montage, the Kamala Harrises of the world, the Barack Obamas, and everybody who is in between, what they want is a political solution to the problem. And the strange thing about it to me right now is your neighbors are your police officers right now. They are the dads and the moms on the Little League team that you sit with at the ballpark, if you're free enough to be able to do that right now. They're the people who go to church with you on Sunday morning or Saturday night. The people who police you right now are sitting at a table with their family that they're very grateful they could come home to safely to eat at an Applebee's. Those are the people who are police officers right now. If the Democrats who are on this stump right now about reimagining policing and reimagining public safety, if they get their way, a political party will reimagine how we are policed and they will make it a political solution. And you know what that is? That's fascism. If you turn over the policing of these communities to people in a political power who have some sort of political authority, you are going to have actual fascism. And I don't think Antifa, the anti-fascist organization, is going to show up and try to stop those individuals from doing whatever it is that they want to do. We have community policing right now. Could it be better? You're darn right. It could. Everything could be better. I could be better. You could be better. We should try to be better. But right now, while we have community policing, where we have people who come out of our own neighborhoods and they work around the area, maybe they don't live in the direct area they police, but we can have that same conversation about schools. We can have that same conversations about having to send your kid to the school in the same zip code you live in. People talk about wanting to have school choice, and the left doesn't support that. But they, at the same time, want to make sure police officers actually live in the communities with which they police. We can have police reform. We could create programs where we encourage people from within impoverished cities to be able to have an easy access to learn how to be a police officer. We can support them in the process to become a police officer. We can come up with programs to improve. But when we listen to these individuals talking about reimagining policing, it is not going to be to the benefit of the community that is going to be policed now by these individuals that have been put into place from a political position. And it's dangerous. And I want to make sure that we watch this very carefully, because some of our most gracious and self-sacrificial neighbors who are police officers right now, who are very good people and who have done a very good job and have stories they've probably never shared of things that they've seen working the job, they are under siege right now. All across the country, we're seeing police officers be attacked. And there is not an outrage for that like there have been for other issues in this country that also need to have attention. So we want to bring attention to that right now. You guys want to do highlights quick before we get to Jack Posobiec?
Now, let's get to the highlights.
So today is a very interesting voting day. I don't know if you all know this, but Alabama has a vote today. And we are going to get to see what kind of collateral A.G. Sessions, remember him, formerly the senator in Alabama? While the influence of political endorsements is always debatable, there's little argument that President Trump's backing in a Republican primary can make a big difference. While his record's not perfect, three Trump-endorsed House candidates lost primaries in recent weeks. The president's support is extremely influential, especially in potential low turnout contests, such as in Tuesday's Senate runoff in Alabama, with two House district runoffs in Texas. In Alabama, former U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions is fighting for his political life as he fights off the ire of the president. Sessions, who served a dozen years as a senator from Alabama before becoming Trump's first attorney general in 2017, angered the president by recusing himself that year from the Russia investigation, the 2016 election. His rival, first-time politician and former Auburn University football coach Tommy Tuberville enjoys the president's backing. So tomorrow we will know the fate of Jeff Sessions. I'm looking forward to finding out how that goes.
Shots were fired near Grand and Lindell downtown last night, and former Governor Eric Greitens rushed to the scene attempting to help the two shooting victims. Greitens was reportedly having dinner nearby when he heard the shots, grabbed a first aid kit, and attempted to save the lives of the victims. As a former Navy SEAL, Greitens has some injury training. Despite the effort, both victims have died. No arrests have been made.
California authorities announced Monday that they are confident that they found the body at a California lake of a missing actress, Naya Rivera. The announcement concludes an extensive search.
This story makes me so sad.
It concludes an extensive research for Rivera, which began 6 days ago after her four-year-old son was found alone on a pontoon boat the pair had rented. We are confident the body we found is that of Naya Rivera, said the Ventura County Sheriff. The sheriff said the location of the body, its physical characteristics and clothing, and the fact that no other missing person was found or reported that week make officials confident the body is Rivera's. Mm.
The Cardinals season at Busch Stadium will unofficially begin July 22nd in an exhibition game against the Kansas City Royals, 2 days before their season officially starts with a home game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. It'll be the first exhibition game ever played at the new Busch Stadium by the Cardinals. The last time the Cardinals played an exhibition game at home was in 1995 at the old Busch Stadium. The opposing manager for that game will, of course, be former Cardinals manager Mike Matheny.
Okay. The St. Louis Gallery.
What do you think about that, Katie?
I think that's interesting. I'm actually pretty excited. I can't wait to watch it.
Maybe you could be in the dugout.
Oh, maybe so. Maybe they'll invite me.
Probably not. The limit on contact of extra people right now is at a minimum.
Right.
Maybe you could sneak in as Fredbird.
The St. Louis Galleria Mall will be the new home of an Amazon four-star store, say that five times fast, soon. The very first in the state. The Amazon store will allow its customers to find and buy products such as electronics, toys, and games in the store. Every product has been rated 4 stars or higher by shoppers. Prime members will still pay the same low prices as they did online for products that they get in the store. Customers can sign up for a 30-day free trial in-store and instantly get the discount.
Interesting. Would you rather buy a 4-star product that has 4,000 reviews or a 5-star product that has 80?
Ooh.
Oh, gosh.
That's a good question.
I'll take the four.
Yeah.
The quantity of reviews is it's a higher value than the amount of stars.
Well, you know, some
it's
of those...
a 5-star product and it has one review and it's from the it's person like, who puts it out there. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Jack Posobiec is going to be with us. Now, he has been in a kerfuffle of sorts with Antifa, but he also has something to say about what police, imagining police reform really looks like to these leftists. And if we have enough time, I'm going to ask him about his thoughts about turning Washington, D.C. into the 51st state. So stick around. Jack Posobiec is going to join us in just a minute.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
They want a different type of policing. They want a different relationship with the police. And I think it's a good thing, Jimmy. I think, look, if you don't have trust and respect between the police and the community, you have nothing. The relationship has to work. And if it's not working for one party, the relationship isn't working.
So that is Cuomo's solution for what this reformed version of policing is going to be. I definitely think that I could be down for some police reform, for further training, for making sure that we support our police officers with all of the resources that they need. But that's a big far cry from the idea that we heard from all of those other folks about reimagining the police. And all of the big names on the left are saying it, including Barack Obama and Kamala Harris, two prolific Democrats that are going to probably have a lot of influence here in the next few coming months. And I wanted to get a guest on here to discuss, what does it mean to reimagine the police? Jack Posobiec, host with One American News Network, joins us now, OANN.com, at Jack Posobiec on Twitter. Thanks for coming on with us, Jack, today. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, and I appreciate to be on, especially with this topic about defunding the police. It's something I heard a lot about when I was out actually undercover covering Chaz. This was a huge topic of conversation out there, and now we see that it's gone from the streets of Seattle and that sort of autonomous zone to some of the biggest names, biggest mainstream names in our country.
Yeah, and you know, I was talking a little bit in the segment leading up to this about how we keep hearing this term community policing. I have a very hard time believing that they're going to be letting, you know, Betty down the street be in charge of community policing the neighborhood. It seems to me that they want people, they want to put this idea out of community policing. It makes it feel more tangible and more local, but I have a hard time trusting it's not going to be replaced with a bunch of politically appointed leftists who are going to essentially take away the actual community policing, which is right now we have police officers who are peers who elect to sign up to do this. And you know, in partnership with those communities, keep the neighborhoods safe. What does it mean to these folks who continue to say reimagine public safety?
Well, one of the biggest examples of that in terms of the reimagining, something you're seeing that's going on with the coronavirus pandemic right now, is that for low-level offenses, police officers are simply giving out citations for something that would happen on the street that might normally be a arrestable offense. It's kind of like when you get a stopping ticket, when you're speeding, you get pulled over. Not you, Andy, of course, never you.
No,
but
I don't drive anywhere.
Someone in general. No. But anyone who might, you don't get arrested for speeding, right? You get a ticket, you pay it later, you get a citation, right? You can fight in court if you so choose.
Yeah.
So the idea of turning certain things into something like that, which I think is something that each community can certainly talk about on an issue-by-issue basis if they'd like to deal with something like that. But the bigger idea of reimagining the police, and this was something that was really on the ground in Chaz that we saw, was this idea that they want to start rolling this out nationwide. They've done this in some cities already, where if you call 911, that the dispatcher would decide potentially pick and choose whether or not to send police officers to you, or would they send a mental health professional or a social worker or perhaps just paramedics that would go out? And so really thinking that there's this sort of understanding that they have that if you bring a police officer into any situation, this is the sort of narrative that they're pushing, that if you bring a police officer into a situation, you're only going to exacerbate things and you're only going to escalate. Whereas if you bring someone who doesn't have that police uniform with the tactical equipment that they have with them, that it will be right. This is their premise, and I want to present their argument in full, that you're escalating. And so if you bring someone who's not a police officer, you will de-escalate. Here's the problem with that, is when you're dialing 911, regardless of what situation you're in, any situation that is in an emergency, that's a crisis situation, has the ability to turn on a dime in the flash of a second, in a split second, in an instant. And if you don't have police officers in a situation that potentially is volatile enough for someone to call 911 and then becomes violent, then the question becomes, do these social workers, these mental health experts, have the capability and the training to be able to deal with what comes next?
Jack Posobiec is a host at One America News Network and joining us now. Jack, on this topic of reimagining the police, you know, I'm actually a fan of when people say, well, there's a problem here. Let's try this. I like the idea of experimenting. I don't necessarily think these are the right experiments to be taking. And my bigger concern, though, and this is what I want to know your thoughts on, is do you think at the end of this experiment, if the people leading it will turn around and say, oh, you know what, that failed, let's go back to something that we know worked? Or is the point of this actually to just create anarchy?
Well, you know, looking back at the situation in Chaz where I covered, that actually did kind of play out along the lines where you're saying, where the mayor of the city decided to take up this incredibly radical plank and say that she was going to abandon a police force of an entire precinct, the East District of the city of Seattle, one of our major cities in the Pacific Northwest, probably the biggest city in the Pacific Northwest. And this is something that the chief of police, Carmen Best, was completely against from the start. She said it would descend into anarchy. She said it would descend into violence. And that's exactly what happened. So they did have to eat crow on that. And so now the blame game has come up. And the mayor is trying to blame it on certain members of the council. And the council is putting it back on the mayor. And there's calls for criminal investigations and all the back and forth. And so to your point, no, I do not think that politicians are typically the type of people that like to accept responsibility for certain things. I think they're the kind of people who try to obfuscate and point you in different directions.
We're speaking with Jack Posobiec, One America News Network host and very, very prominent on Twitter, at Jack Posobiec. We'll follow him there. Everything in 2020 has to be viewed through the lens of it being an election year. And every day that we grow closer to November 3rd, we have to have a heightened sense about what people are doing and saying and how it factors into what people decide to do on November 3rd. Is this idea of reimagining police something that is going to matter to these people in these communities, the talking heads, not the communities, because it seems to me that the actual communities involved here are really the last people to be talked to and asked about this issue. But is this going to matter to these individuals on November 4th, after the votes have been cast, after the election has been decided? Are we still going to be fully dedicated to reimagining public safety?
Well, you know, we'll see. We certainly saw a lot of these sort of community policing type stories in the run up to through 2015 and 2016, and then they sort of disappeared only to reemerge again here in 2020. But look, this idea of reimagining the police, the Trump campaign, and if I can put an objective hat on for a second here, that ad they released about someone trying to call 911 in the middle of an emergency and them getting a message saying no one's available to talk to you right now because the police have been defunded. That was devastating. And that goes directly to those suburban voters. That goes to older voters. That is the kind of thing, law and order, safety and stability, that is the kind of thing that really causes voters to convert. And you know, we're in the midst of a national emergency, an international emergency right now with the pandemic. I actually saw a tweet yesterday which I'd love to take credit for, but it totally wasn't mine. I can't remember the name of the person. But so I retweeted it, and the comment was, do you remember how panicked you were a few months ago when you couldn't get toilet paper? Now imagine that you can't get a police officer when you call 911.
Yeah. Yeah. It is something that people probably aren't lending as much thoughts to, and the percentage of police officers that we have that are very good. I was saying, I think it was at the end of last week, that we're told that the good protesters that are being sullied by these bad protesters, the rioters. And for some reason, when it comes to the riots, we aren't asking the good protesters to weed out the bad ones. We're supposed to do that with the police officers. You know, the bad police officers are supposed to get rooted out by the good police officers. But for some reason, the good protesters, the peaceful protesters, aren't being asked to tell the rioters to take a hike because they are ruining the reputation of the worthwhile protests that seem to be taking. I want to ask you real quick before we have to let you go about the Washington, D.C. 51st state effort that is underway. It's been passed by the House. It's in the Senate hands. I think we know how this might end. But what are your thoughts on the idea of creating a 51st state with the land that is Washington, D.C.?
Well, as someone who's worked in the D.C. area for about 8 years now, it's really something that I think I can understand why the people who live here would want that. But at the same time, it's a complete backwards look in terms of how the federal district, this federal territory, was created. This was a state at one point. It was part of the state of Maryland. And it was then carved out so that it would be a federal territory that was not subject to the issues that would pertain to statehood. It was meant to be separate, and that has to do with the actual underpinning of our federal system of government. This is called federalism. Actually, what it means is that the states came together to create the federal government. So the district here is a federal territory, a creation of that, just in the same sense that our federal government was a creation of the states. However, I also happened to talk to a D.C. tour guide that I was meeting with the other day. He runs D.C. Black Tours. And I asked him about it because we were doing an interview. And he said, well, I don't think that D.C. should become a state at all. I said, really? Why is that? He said, no, we should become a federal territory like Guam. I said, Guam? Why do you want to become like Guam? He said, because I don't want to pay income tax anymore.
There you go. That's the smart way to go about it. That makes sense.
And I said, it's a very pragmatic guy.
Yeah, for sure. Jack, thank you for coming on with us. I'd love to get your insight because we know that you are on the ground and seeing these things from a firsthand place. And we like to share that with our listeners. So thanks, Jack. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Annie.
Yep, we'll talk to you again soon. Jack Posobiec there, host with One America News Network and also on Twitter at Jack Posobiec. He's inching towards 1 million followers on Twitter. That's kind of crazy, I think. Pretty cool, though. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can take your reaction to it. The idea of reimagining public safety, of reimagining the police the police force. Getting a lot of comments on our Facebook Live and our YouTube Live about what you think about this. Some comments as well from police officers. Love to hear from some of the LEOs out there about what they think next. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. We'll be right back.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for joining us. Just had Jack Posobiec on, and I always appreciate his contributions because he's kind of he's a host on One America News Network. Don't tell Gundy, was it Gundy that? Is it the Oklahoma State University coach? He wore that OANN t-shirt. Now, I think he took like $1 million pay cut in the mess of that. Ridiculous. But Jack is on the street and he works to see the places that he is covering and have a firsthand experience. And he's got a pretty big footprint out there. So it's great to have him on the show. 314-241-9797. Give us a call if you want to join us. I'm going to get to Rhonda's call here in just a second. But to you guys, I don't know Ryan, if you want to weigh in on your impression of what it means to reimagine public safety.
Yeah, well, I think it's just a reallocation of funds at this point. I think they're trying to put more money into
away from the police, but like, what does it look like? What do they want
like
to invest
on the ground for a person in the city, you mean? I think that you're just talking about less police responding to... The biggest criticism is that police are responding to calls that they don't really need to, and that they're going to send social workers to certain calls. I just don't... I think you're taking the teeth away from the bite. You know, it's like you're dealing with a foreign nation. Like if you're dealing with Iraq, you want Saddam Hussein to stop gassing his own people. You don't just tell him, well, stop doing that. I'll try to help you. He's not going to do it. You know, you have to have some sort of force behind it that's either economic or military that's going to say, you have to do this or else. And I think when you remove the police from a situation, you might have somebody who's better trained at quote unquote de-escalation, but nobody's going to respect them if they know they can't do anything in the situation.
Katie, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of gray area, just kind of like what you were saying, Ryan. There's a lot of gray area whenever someone calls 911 and you're maybe it's child abuse and the dispatcher wants to send out a social worker, mental health expert, because they think that that's best. But the parents are extremely hostile. They're very angry. They've been hurting a child. You've got to understand that there's going to be, if you send a police officer, those parents are probably going to be more terrified. They're going to be scared, and they're going to probably comply a lot more with the commands of a police officer than they would with a social worker or a mental health expert. So I just think that there's a lot of gray area that needs to be determined and smashed down before we even start reallocating money.
Here's the interesting thing about this, and this was Jack's point when he was on with us just before, and I just tweeted out at Annie Fry Show. If you want to go back and listen to it, you can do that later. Not right now. You're listening to me right now. if you go and listen to it, you'll hear him say that you'll have dispatchers choosing to send out mental health workers, social workers, in lieu of police officers. And the implication that sending out a police officer is an automatic escalation of a situation is wrong. I mean, de-escalation it's got to be the first thing you learn when you go to academy. I mean, I've been a sports official, and I'd be reffing volleyball games in a fifth grade match. De-escalation. When you got the dad in the stands, you're like, where was that ball? That ball was in. It landed on the line. That was out of bounds. And you're like, hey, idiot, the ball is in bounds. And you just don't escalate that situation. You don't go there. It doesn't do anybody any good. On a police officer scale, that's a massively, exponentially larger situation that you're dealing with. And of course they are there to de-escalate the situation. And the a-holes that aren't, they need to be rooted out. There's a big difference there. Here's where the problem exists, though. When you have a dispatcher who, you know, I know some personal police dispatchers right now, some people who work on the Illinois side of the river, you are putting an enormous amount of pressure on them to not get that wrong. Because if you send a social worker into a situation that turns deadly, is that now on the dispatcher's conscience and life that they sent somebody in because it was a, you know, they have literally cards that tell you, if it's this situation, here are the steps that you go through. If it's this situation, here are the steps you go through. If at the end of that card, it says, send a social worker or a mental health expert out to this situation, and they get shot and they were not there, like, are they going to have guns? Because I'm pretty sure that the whole point is to not introduce a gun to the situation. You're putting a political decision on a dispatcher to make sure that they don't send somebody defenseless into a situation that's going to turn bad because maybe they read it wrong. If you need to retrain or add training to police officers to reemphasize de-escalation, I would assume, just like a lot of other circumstances, it depends on the police officer. I saw somebody who I follow, a prominent person in politics, said yesterday she was going golfing, I think with her nephew, a 7-year-old nephew or niece. And she's like, I don't know what the age is where you let them win the putt-putt game. She was taking a mini golf and she was like, I don't know if I should just try to win and do my best and whatever happens, happens, or if I should still let them win. And my response to this situation about police officers and training is the same response I had to the mini golf thing, which is it depends on the kid. If the kid needs to learn a lesson about losing with humility, you kick his butt and you don't let him get away with the idea that he's somehow, you know, entitled to things that he doesn't deserve. But if the kid is a good kid and you've got, it comes down to the last hole and you can muff a stroke because you're going to make a seven-year-old's day that way and it's not going to go to their head one way or the other, it doesn't hurt to let a kid have a break every now and then. Policing has to be the same. We have to have enough sense where we are looking at the officers that we have hired in our precincts and make sure that they are good. And if they're not good, we make them better. We make them adequate. And if they still aren't adequate, get rid of them. That's what we need to be doing. Rhonda's holding on the line right now. And if you want to join us, 314-241-9797. Rhonda, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, how are you?
Doing okay. How are you?
I'm confused. I'm sorry. I'm confused because where I live, you know, they say snitches get stitches. All of my neighbors are afraid to speak up. On Facebook, people are afraid to speak up for fear of bullying. So if the community is supposed to police itself and we can't get them to buy in and, I don't know, say, hey, I saw who shot that one-year-old in Chicago. How do they do it then? It's not feasible. I'm so aggravated with this whole topic.
Rhonda, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. And here's what I'll say to that. And maybe I'm wrong and, you know, by all means, light me up if I'm wrong. I don't think they actually want community policing. I think that's the language, the vocabulary that they choose because it sounds flowery. Like, you know, Democrats and Republicans alike create things like the Puppies and Sunshine Bill. How do you vote against Puppies and Sunshine? And it's like got terrible things in it, but then they get to go in political ads that only last 30 seconds with the really scary voice and say, Katie Fitzpatrick hates puppies. And then we're like, wow, Katie, did you hear that? She hates puppies. I can't vote for her. And it's like that simple. I don't think that they want community policing. What they want is to replace the power structure that exists right now with one that is politically governmental. And when the government takes control of everything, that's fascism. The question is, the people who are advocating for this to happen, are they going to be the ones in power? If this gets done, yeah, they are. So you know what the end game is. It's pretty frightening. Let's get to Bob here real quick. Bob, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show.
Sure. Hi. Thanks a lot. I'm a retired St. Louis policeman. And I'm going on in the 60s, late 60s. And regarding this defunding the police, I think people should start thinking about their grandchildren. This thing is the most silliest thing I've ever heard of in my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah.
First off, we are on the edge of a civil war. And it's going to get worse as the election gets closer. And you're going to, I tell you, folks, if you start believing these people, you're not thinking of your grandchildren, their children, the future of this country. This is the most stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my entire life.
Bob,
you have all these homicides that happen in these cities. Do you think it's going to get better?
Yeah. No, I don't think it. Thank you for the call, Bob. I appreciate it. I don't think it's going to get better with less police. That's for sure. Katie, can we squeeze in Gene's call here before
Absolutely.
We go to a break? All right, let's get Gene on here. I want to make sure. Real quick, Gene, wanted to get you in. Thanks for calling the show.
Hi, I am, I guess what some people would say, a senior professional woman living in a one of the larger municipalities of the metropolitan St. Louis area.
Okay.
I recently called my municipal police to make a complaint regarding another police officer, and I couldn't believe the way I was treated. I think the word de-escalation cannot be overemphasized. People need to learn how to talk. And as I said to the police officer as he interrogated me, was very rude to me, you know, 5 minutes of listening sometimes can resolve a problem. That's all it takes. 5 minutes of listening. And I think police officers need to be trained time and time again on how to listen, how to de-escalate, how to work with people, not just accuse, not just order people around, not to just investigate and play mind games, but to be part of the community. And also, those who are policing the police need to be especially trained in how to work with the community. And Jean, that's all I have to add.
Okay, I wanted to make sure we got your point in here. Thank you for calling the show, and thank you for sharing that, because I think Jean does have a point as well. You know, I've had people suggest that a lot of times police officers get used to doing, like, only night shifts. And if you do all night shifts as a police officer, you're going to have a different experience than if you were doing day shifts and, you know, trying to get people to and from business, as opposed to the rigors of what an overnight shift can take. There are, I agree with Jean, you know, as much as tensions are high right now, I am sure there are police officers who are feeling it. I am sure there are police officers who have regretted how they've handled those situations, and they do need to be accountable for those as well. And I think police officers would admit to that. We all need to do better. We all need to do more listening. Jean, thank you for the phone call. Let's take a quick break. We'll do more when we come back. Stick around. Back in a second.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.